This episode is brought to you by our network sponsor, Radish Kids. That's R-A-D-D-I-S-H, Kids. And we want to thank them and all of our sponsors that make this network possible. Well, hello everybody, this is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. You know, we've got four sons who have graduated from homeschooling and gone on to college, so good news, it works. You can get into college with this, and that's a great thing. We've talked to a lot of people about this college step, and we talked to a lot of admissions officers and, you know, just conversations we've had with professors and things. And an interesting thing about it is most of them say they really like having the homeschoolers, that the homeschoolers aren't more awkward than their average student coming in. In fact, they seem to find their way around campus faster.
They tend to be very successful in college.
Well, professors like them because they ask questions. And they
love to learn.
They have a little bit of, you know, curiosity still. So, you know, we shouldn't be afraid of the idea of, well, my kids are homeschooled, I don't think they can manage college. I think that we're actually equipping our young people to do this. But There's one thing that I've seen that we have a tendency to do as homeschoolers. I think we don't tend to give our kids enough credit. You know, I think that we're so worried about maybe exaggerating or grade inflation or something that instead we grade our kids too strictly, too harshly, and we really put them at a disadvantage against the bricks and mortar students that they're going to be competing with.
Well, see, that's why I think it's so important to know what's going on around you. Because we, as homeschoolers, we want to be honest. But
right, we speak the truth in love. That's what
right.
we do as Christians.
But if we don't know what the standard is, then we can misrepresent our child by being harsher than we need to be.
So we need to understand that and understand that when we put that college application in, you know, that admissions officer doesn't have a chance to meet our student before they present as an applicant.
Right.
So they can't balance it out and say, oh, I know their mom. Their mom is really tough on them. I mean, they can't. They're really and truly, we've got to put it in the application in a way that the admissions officer will get an honest picture. And that includes, hey, you know what? Maybe your child's been blessed with talents in some area or they've had some great achievements or awards. It's not boasting to inform the people that need to know these things. And colleges need to know.
It really isn't. You know, this is so much of homeschooling is so free. We don't have to compare ourselves to everyone else. We can do what's best for our child. This is the time that, you know what, our kids get compared. And so how this is very stress producing for many of us.
You've made the transition from being mom to being mom and teacher. Now you're being mom and teacher and guidance counselor at the same time.
Well, and it just, you know, there's a lot of consequences to the decisions made during this senior year. Mm-hmm. So we're going to give you the executive overview of mm-hmm. how do you do college applications with your kid? What do you need to do? What do you need to know? Mm-hmm. And we've got some resources that'll take you into more detail.
Yeah, so stick around. Some great stuff at the end of this. We'll tell you how to get a whole bunch of resources, but we're going to give you a quick overview.
Yes.
This stuff. So listen up and take some notes if you want to, and you can go back and listen as much as you need. So, all right. Well, let's start about when you want to start this whole process.
Well, the first thing you need to do is look at the college application deadlines.
Okay.
Because you certainly can't apply after then. The problem is mm-hmm. that there can be some consequences to applying late.
Well, I mean, okay, you go look at some of these state universities and some of the colleges that aren't exactly Harvard level. Say they've got rolling admissions. You can apply at any time. I mean, even a few months before you graduate.
Well, the problem with rolling admissions is they look at applications as they come in and they fill those slots starting early in the senior year. And if you're applying at the last minute, you may be competing at that point for just a few slots left.
So that might be a last ditch backup kind of option.
You really
do better if you get started on this whole process a whole lot earlier.
In fall of your senior year, you know, mm-hmm. don't be that family. We have friends whose mm-hmm. daughter said in fall of her senior year, "Oh, I'm not going to college. I'm totally not interested in college." But by spring, as her friends were talking about what colleges they were going to, she changed her mind. And so they had to race to meet the deadlines. Don't be that family. You don't want to do that.
No.
And but you got to understand something of the psychology of a high school student.
Okay.
You see, during their sophomore and junior year, they are anxious to be adults and get out of the house and move on with their lives. And so they'll tell you, I want to go to the University of Vancouver on the other side of the country from where you live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got big dreams. They want to study abroad in Hungary.
Right.
You know, they want to go far and fly high. And then it gets to be their senior year and they realize, oh, dear.
So maybe I don't feel like going to school 1,200 miles from home.
In fact, I'm not sure I want to leave home. I don't think I'm old enough for this. I don't think I'm... How am I going to do this? And suddenly, when you suggest a college that's 500 miles away, they have a panic attack.
Well, it's funny because we travel a lot and our guys are pretty adventurous. But even with our guys, I saw that they had this big circle drawn of colleges they consider. And that circle shrank as the months went on.
As they got closer and closer to actually leaving.
Closer and closer to the decision point. They got closer and closer to maybe a neighboring state would be far enough.
Yeah, I think 500 miles is the furthest any of ours have gone.
Okay.
But and they can tell you they don't want to go to college at that point, and it out of fear, and that's not really so. So you've got to tell them that, you know, if you get an offer of admissions, you can turn it down. Or
you don't have to go to the dance. If somebody invites you, you can walk away, but you can't just walk in without being invited.
Also, if you get applied and decide you want to take a gap year, you can ask for deferred admission for a year.
So they let you, like, put it on hold?
Yeah, a lot of colleges will. They'll let you put it on hold for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can go do something. So fall of the senior year, and if you need money, as nearly 100% of people do, if you want scholarships, the scholarship deadlines tend to be a lot earlier than other deadlines.
In fact, if you were listening to this...
In September,
yeah, you may have just a week or two.
Yeah, because...
Some colleges, their financial aid deadline is like first week in October, isn't it?
Well, merit scholarship deadlines, yes.
Yeah.
So scholarship deadlines tend to be earlier, so you want to look at this early in their senior year if you can.
Yeah.
Now, where to apply? You know the very first school you need to choose, Hal?
What's
that? To apply to? Your safety school.
The safety school is the one that you're pretty certain that you'll be able to get into and succeed at. And you know what that means. It doesn't mean a bad college. It just means one that, you know, is not going to really tax your student's ability.
Well, let me tell them how to find that out.
Okay, figure that out.
Okay, you can go to one of the many websites that compare colleges.
Right.
Newsweek, College Board. You know, ISI, you can go to one of the many websites that compare
ISI
colleges.
Is the Intercollegiate Studies Institute, which is, we'll talk about later.
And you look at what the average SAT or ACT scores are for incoming freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
And your safety school, you should be well above that average.
Because your student should have been taking this all their junior year.
Well,
so
we'll
you
talk
know what
about
they're...
that in a
okay.
minute.
But, okay.
But your student should be well above that average.
Right.
And... it's a college that you can afford. Maybe it's a local state college or community college or, you know, a college that you know is within your financial means.
Okay.
It should be a financial safety and an academic safety. Because if all else fails, you want to have a place to go. And it needs
right.
to be a place you
right.
like. Because,
right.
like, I know of one child who was aiming at the Ivies, applied to 11 Ivy League colleges.
Uh-huh.
Problem is, many Ivy League colleges have an acceptance rate of less than 15%.
And you know what? You can be a great student and just not get into that league. And
well, this young lady didn't get in anywhere, Hal.
Yeah. And so here's a good student, an ambitious student, a student with a lot of dreams, and didn't plan on the possibility that maybe a plan B was necessary.
If she had applied to a good liberal arts college, a good state college, she might could have gotten a full scholarship.
Hmm.
But she didn't have a safety school. You need to have a safety school. And you need to apply to more than one school. You know, when I
was making this decision, I really only looked at about three schools. And two of them were just kind of daydream, over the horizon stuff. And I really was focused on that state college that my dad had graduated from. And I knew the campus. And I liked the culture. And that's the school I went to. And it all worked out fine for me. I mean, I got a wife out of the deal too, and that was really good. But you don't know that when you're making this plan.
And you can't do that anymore. How?
Because, I mean, well, frankly, it's become so much easier to apply than it used to be that I think lots of students apply to 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 different schools.
Well, also, there's a bigger population applying. A much higher percentage of people go to college than used to. Now, not all that many higher graduate, but nowhere go to college than used to.
At least they start it, yeah.
And you're fighting in a bigger population, so you need to apply to more than one school. In fact, you should have at least one, or better yet, two safety schools. Schools that are academic safeties, financial safeties, you feel certain you can go there.
Right.
You ought to have at least one, or at most two, dream mm-hmm. schools.
Okay, these are the ones that, like, if you won the lottery, you would love to go to, pick your school. Everybody's
Harvard
got a favorite.
Or Oxford or whatever.
It might be Harvard. It might be Stanford. It might be Davidson College. It could be Wellesley or something.
But a school that you think, wow, if I could go there, and go ahead and apply, because, you know, sometimes you get in and you get the money.
That's a surprising thing, yeah. And we did find it out that oftentimes the small liberal arts schools actually have a bigger scholarship budget available than the state schools do.
One of our kids went to a top 15 college in the nation and got that full ride scholarship.
Right.
So you never know. Have a dream
school. So go ahead and apply.
But you need to have 5 to 10 matches.
And those are schools that your students' abilities and the incoming class predictions are going to be roughly on par.
Right.
They'll be competitive. You think they'll be stretched and challenged some, but not completely blown away.
They're a good match for your kid's abilities. Yeah. Your child falls in the middle 50% of their mm-hmm. of their SAT and ACT scores.
Right.
There's a possibility you could afford it. You know, if you have to have money, mm-hmm. like if you're in ministry like us and you have to have financial aid or scholarships, then you need to apply to more schools.
Well, yeah, and that's something you kind of talk reality with your students, because you may not have a lot of college funds. You know, you may not have been able to save a lot. The economy's been rough the past several years, and so, you know, it may be a situation where, son, daughter, don't give your heart away until the financial aid package comes in, because, you know, you may not be able to afford the school that you always wanted to go to. Because we can't afford to just write checks for it ourselves.
Yeah, do be sure to make college visits, especially for your safety, in any school you really want to get into.
I mean your safety schools, the ones that you are, okay.
Now, how to apply? Well, most apps are online now.
Mm-hmm.
Most state schools and smaller private schools have their own systems. If so, allow a lot of time, because they're tedious.
And
you have to add every club you've ever been involved in one at the time, and their little form. It's horrible.
Oh, okay. So here's a pro tip. When you gather this information, even if you haven't done it until you do your first application, save a copy of everything.
Yes.
Because you can cut and paste so much of these things. You can reuse answers for some of the questions and all.
Now, elite schools or larger private colleges will tend to use the Common App, which is mm-hmm. where you can do the application once, and then each school might have a different question or something extra that you add on to that, but you can apply to a bunch of schools with that same basic application.
The basic boilerplate stuff that everybody's going to ask, you know, for your name and your information and transcript and your clubs and junk. Yeah.
Okay, so let's just real briefly talk about what you need to apply, and then after the break, we'll mm-hmm. talk about those things in more detail.
Okay, so you're saying what are you going to need to have in hand before you can start this application fill out?
Well, you need to have SAT or ACT scores.
Right.
If you're just getting to this point and you haven't done that yet, then mm-hmm. quickly set up to take the SAT or ACT as soon as you can. It used to be that the SAT was used on the coast mm-hmm. and the ACT in the heartland. But now either
pretty
is
much everybody
pretty much accepted
uses
everywhere.
In anything. Yeah. Yeah.
You need a transcript.
Okay.
And you need a resume.
Mm-hmm.
And you need at least 2 or 3 letters of recommendation.
Yep. And that needs to be somebody outside of your family. And frankly, somebody outside of your church is useful. I mean, not just your Sunday school teacher, but...
You need to be able to fill out the FAFSA or the profile. Those are financial aid application forms. The FAFSA is produced by the government.
Mm-hmm.
The profile by the College Board. Ask your college which they require.
And that's one of those things that's going to be used in multiple application platforms.
Yeah. Now you do that once, and then list all the schools you want it to go to. Now, right. it takes a long time to do it, especially if you're self-employed. But it takes a long time to do it and to go through it. But do fill it out as soon as possible, because you will not get a financial aid package until you fill those out. And then some nice-to-haves mm-hmm. are a reading list
yeah.
and a guidance counselor letter. But the right. most important part of the application is the essay.
Because this is the point where you get to show who you are.
We'll talk about that in just a second.
We'll talk about that in just a minute. But we do need to take a break and talk about our sponsor. We are being sponsored by our network supporter, Radish Kids.
It's really cool. It's like cooking lessons for kids. Mm-hmm. And they sent us a box to try out, and my kids loved it. It was had a high-quality tool in it, and it taught us to do some... I'm a really good cook, but it taught us to do some things I'd never done. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's real stuff. They're teaching real skills. So let's turn it over. They've got an announcement we want to give you, and then we'll be right back. We'd like to take a minute and thank our new Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network sponsor, Radish. This is a cooking club and a curriculum especially designed for kids by chefs and educators. Radish is perfect for homeschooling families because you can teach thematic cooking lessons that incorporate math and science, nutrition, geography, and culture. With Radish, the kitchen is the tastiest place to learn. Use the coupon code PODCAST at the checkout and you can take $15 off a 6 or 12 month membership. For more information, visit radishkids.com/homeschool and you can download a free lesson to take a look at it. That's Radish with two D's, R-A-D-D-I-S-H, kids.com. Okay, so we're talking about, you know, getting this college application thing going and not being shy about it. I mean, to recognize that you need to communicate, you need to sell your student to the college. And you can do that without lying, without deceiving or exaggerating anything. You just need to know how to get the best words out there in front of them where they'll see it.
So let's talk about the parts of the application how. You know, SAT or ACT scores are more important for homeschoolers than they are for other kids.
Well, that's something, it's a standardized test, and so it will validate your own grading.
Yes.
If you've got a straight A transcript, and then you've got a 1600 SAT, you know, on the 2 score, then that, oh, okay, yeah, I see that. This is a brilliant student. And so, you know.
The colleges need to see it to know, because see, when they see a transcript from, you know, the high school in your area that is top-notch and has a international baccalaureate program, they know what that means.
They've got a reputation that they can kind of slot that. They can pigeonhole those applications.
Or if they see a transcript from a really poor-performing high school, they're going to know what those grades mean. They don't know what your grades mean.
Well, so you're basically operating a little tiny private school that they don't have experience with.
Right. And so your scores are more important. If you have a child who does not test well, there are some colleges that don't require SAT or ACT scores, but one other option is you can drastically improve your scores through taking practice tests.
Test taking is a skill.
It is.
And understanding how the test is structured and just getting used to the grind of it, you know, to say I'm going to sit down and spend a whole morning answering test questions, it's just like it's mental exercise, just like physical conditioning.
Now, so that's really important. Mm-hmm. Transcript, your homemade, mom-made transcript is fine. We have had no problems with our transcript.
No.
But it needs to look similar to everyone else's.
Well, that's because that admissions officer is going to look at, if he's got 100 slots to fill, he's going to look at 1,200, you know, applications, and he needs to be able to just scan down it.
Yeah, to look at it really fast.
He needs to be able
to
look at it quick and say, okay, there's all their English. Yep, they got all their math. Okay, yeah, I see the basics here. We'll give this one a second look.
That means front only one page.
Yeah, because you're not going to get the real detailed stuff on that front page. That right. this is the first gate.
It's boiling it down. The essentials are the school's name and address.
Yep.
The student's name and social security number.
Right.
The courses and grades, the GPA, the date of expected graduation, and the administrator's signature. That's what it's got to have.
And that's not, and there's not a lot of details. That's like saying English 1, English 3, Algebra 2.
You want to give fairly simple course titles so they can understand them, and just make it look like everybody else's. Now, where do they see how special your child is?
Well, that's when you get into the essays.
The other things.
Your letter as the guidance counselor.
The resume.
Oh, yes.
See, a resume is... It looks kind of like a resume for a job, but it just lists everything that reflects well on your child that's not on the transcript.
And you know what? You have to coach your child, because I have one. I think I can say this. We had one who was filling out his application, and he left this blank where it asked for community service. He said, "Well, I've never been in trouble." We said, No. That means like volunteer work." He said, "Oh, I thought that meant like drunk drivers that pick up trash along the road." No, we mean, you know, volunteer work. We start sharing, you know, reminding him of things that he'd done. He said, "Well, I thought everybody did that." No, actually they don't.
Okay, so your resume should have jobs, volunteerism, clubs, awards they've received, hobbies. Basically, it's only going to have stuff from high school.
Okay, well, what if they won like the National Geography Bee when they're in the eighth grade?
If they won a national or region, you know, like multi-state prize in the eighth grade, go ahead and list it. Otherwise, just high school stuff.
Okay.
You need letters of recommendation, like from a debate coach or a history club person or a co-op teacher. At least you're going to need two or three of them, and at least one of them needs to speak to their academic ability. And others can speak to their character.
And that can be a co-op class. That can be a debate coach. That can be a language extracurricular program of some sort. Yeah. Just anything that shows intellectual work.
Right. Others of them can speak to other aspects, to the character and stuff. That's fine.
Right.
But at least one had better speak to academics, and preferably more than one.
Sure.
Now, the FAFSA, you can find it at FAFSA.gov. It is the government financial aid form, and it is, you can go to jail if you lie on it.
And it's one of those,
you don't
under
cheat.
Penalty of perjury. So, don't try to cut corners on it.
Give up on ever having any privacy ever again, because you'll have to tell them everything.
Well, they pretty much know it already from our tax
they
forms.
Do.
This is just,
but it's just kind of, it's upsetting the first time you fill that stuff out, Hal.
Yeah. Well, okay. But this is your trade-off. You know, you want to be considered for financial aid, and they're being responsible with the money that's available. So
now, a reading list is an optional thing. A few elite schools will request a reading list. Other schools, you can send it, and they might take a look at it. They might not.
But how big of a reading list? Because I remember when we worked on a scholarship committee, somebody sent us 25 pages.
No.
We don't want book reports.
A page or two.
Yeah.
And it should just be the most significant books that your student read in high school. Mm-hmm. But it should show a wide variety.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is really important, the guidance counselor's letter.
Well, that's you, isn't it?
Yeah. This is your chance as the parent to have a say in this. The guidance counselor's letter is normally written by the guidance counselor. It should describe both the school and the student.
So it explains kind of what makes your school special, gives them some context to say, okay, we focus on the great works of literature, or we're focused on vocational training, or whatever it is. Yeah.
And it also discusses the particular talents of the child.
Yeah.
I recommend that you have a secular version for secular schools, and you have a version that includes the Christian reasons why you decided to homeschool or whatever for the Christian colleges.
Well, it's a matter of informing them with the things they're interested in.
Right.
Okay. It's not a matter of hiding anything.
Yeah, we can need to hurry, Hal.
Yeah, we do. Okay.
The essay is the most important part, because that's the only time that the admissions committee really gets to know your personality.
Well, honest to goodness, colleges build their incoming college class like a coach builds a team.
Yeah.
You know, they want to see interesting students, and they want a variety of students coming in.
They want interesting students because they want people who are going to be interesting people and going to donate to the college once they're adults.
Well, you know, colleges want good applicants because good applicants make good alumni. And maybe they'll send their kids to go to good old State U, or maybe they'll endow a professor one day.
Yeah. So you need to be creative. Let them really know something about your heart. Tell a story, something meaningful to you. Don't be trite or smart aleck or arrogant. I've helped a child one time with someone else's child with a college essay, and it was so smart aleck, and I had to look at this young man and say, you know what? No one is going to be impressed with your smart mouth at 17.
So Yeah, you really are. You're trying to market yourself as a potential member of their incoming class. And yeah. So you want to get the best impression. And that comes to the next thing, which is when you actually set foot on campus.
Well, you know, scholarship days, if you get an invitation for a scholarship day, never turn it down.
That is not like an open house. That means you have made the cut for the consideration at the first level. And if you don't show up for scholarship day, your scholarship potential goes to zero.
Yeah, you do not get scholarships.
You must go.
They use scholarships to recruit. And so they're not going to offer a scholarship to someone they don't think is really interested in their school, because they want to offer it to someone who is really interested so they can get that kid to come.
Yeah.
So if you have a competition for your sport or debate or something the same weekend as scholarship day, go to scholarship day.
Because actually, by that time, you've already filled out your resume. You've already filled out all of your stuff, and your extracurriculars and everything are on the record. And so
now, if you can't afford to come, tell them.
Well, tell them that, because they're already making an investment. And you know, they're already betting that you're going to be a good candidate. And so a lot of times they do have some financial aid for that.
Sometimes they may help you. One of our sons was, you know, a graduate school paid to have him fly in for a visit. And so, yeah, always tell them if you can't afford it, but always go.
Right.
Okay, so when do you hear back from these things? Mm-hmm. Well, you could hear any time if you're a top candidate. If you're a top candidate, you could get an invitation to scholarship day in before Christmas.
Okay.
Or, you know, send out those invitations in January, February.
Yeah, a lot of those scholarship days are in January and February, exactly, because the college tries to get all of their invitations for accepted students out by like April 1st, don't
April
they?
1st is the National Acceptance Day. That's when you accept in some very strange circumstances, like a local college with rolling admission.
Right.
You will hear by April 1st whether you're accepted or not.
And frequently you'll hear a long time before then.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, April is your month.
That's your month to consider the applications that are on the table.
Yes.
Because the acceptance day is usually May 1st, right?
Yes. Well, National Acceptance Day, April 30th, May 1st, something like that.
All right.
But is National Decision Day is April 30th. Nearly all colleges will require you to reply by April 30th and May 1st. If they've offered you a scholarship, they will strongly encourage you to reply before that, because if you're not going to accept their scholarship, they want to go recruit somebody else with that scholarship.
They always have waiting lists. And so, you do need to work with them on this.
Now, what do you do once you decide?
Well, when you
celebrate.
You say that decision's made. All right, great. And pick out the color for your towels and your
You start preparing
stuff, and
if like critically important, you find a church to go to at the new college. You find out about Christian groups on campus, because you know our guys have found out that if you get involved with a church and a Christian group within your first couple of weeks of college, likelihood is you're going to stay in that Christian crowd your entire college experience.
You're going to stay in the faith. You're going to walk in the faith and probably grow in the faith, because this is a great place to grow in your faith, even on a secular campus, but not if you're adrift. Not if you just go out there and you don't connect with a college and you don't get into a fellowship.
Yeah, and kids that don't connect with church and other Christians tend to have a time of drift that can be really detrimental to their lives.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to get a ton of information, forms to fill out, health forms. They're going to know about vaccinations. Some states require you to be vaccinated to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be an orientation, sometimes a freshman retreat.
And those are not negotiable either.
No. And
you may have an option on different dates, but you're going to have to go.
Yeah.
That's just part of the incoming process.
There's going to be housing forms to fill out. And if you don't have someone you want to room with, you might want to consider paying the extra money to get a private room for the year, because morality has really slipped among college students, and you can find yourself in a very uncomfortable position.
And there's a lot of, there's a lot of transitions going on, and sometimes you need a little bit of space. And so, I can vouch for that. And we've had guys, we've had several of our guys that have gone private room at the start. Some who have not. Some who have had some remarkable roommate problems, too.
Yeah. and start buying stuff for your dorm room. You know, this is the fun time when you know where you're going to go. Mm-hmm. You can go buy yourself some swag at the college bookstore.
Yep.
Start planting seeds there and getting excited about where you're going and planning your life. Now, there are a lot of details we didn't talk about.
No, we just had a few minutes here, really.
We didn't talk about how to do a college visit.
That's really important.
That's super important, and how you do it is super important.
And you want to be doing that right now, actually, even as you're doing the application process.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. You know, we didn't go into how to put together a transcript.
Right.
We've got some resources that can help you with that.
And we want to offer those to you. Right now, they are free. Now, they may not be free forever, so go on out and get them. But if you want to get these resources, go out to our show page. If you go to theultimateradioshow.com/M182. What is that? You know, this is show number 182 of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. So go to ultimateradioshow.com/M182 and just follow the link down there. We've got a college decision resource package that will really help you and really point you to a lot of good information.
It'll point you to a lot of good information on our site, a lot of free stuff, also some paid stuff if you need some more help.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd love to give you a hand with that. So go out there to ultimateradioshow.com /M182.
Yep.
182.
Okay.
To get to this show page, and there'll be a link there where you can get it. And you know what? It's been great talking to you guys tonight.
Well, this is one of our favorite subjects, and we want to help you out. You know, we want you to succeed in whatever God is intending for your student and for your family.
And that reminds me, we didn't talk about the most important part of this whole process.
Which is?
Pray.
Oh, goodness, yes. Pray over this whole thing.
Ask the Lord for wisdom
and
for guidance, because this is a critical decision. This may be where your child meets their mate.
Mm-hmm.
It may be where they are confirmed in their faith and strengthened, or where they fall away. You need wisdom for this decision.
Well, it is a major milestone in life. It is going to be part of your life and part of your student's resume forever. And so you do want to take some care and do the due diligence. And, you know, let's just recognize this too. Mom, Dad, you know, maybe you want your child to go to good old Centerburg State like you did, but you know what? Colleges change all the time. And so you still need to come to, even to your own alma mater and say, what's this college like now? It's not the college I remember, because they keep growing and changing just like people.
We've got some great resources on how to stay Christian in college, and those are linked in there too, aren't they, Hal?
They certainly are.
All right, y'all take care.
Okay, look, we do appreciate you being with us and hope that you'll join us again as we try to take biblical principles and make them a practical reality in your home. So until next time, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.